Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction again to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. In this Follow the White Rabbit, we're going to talk about our enemies. I'm going to tell you where your enemies went wrong. How much they've screwed up. You always listen to these other channels that tell you how the enemy's doing this and the enemy has so much control and the enemy has yada, yada, yada. And they certainly are at the top of a few things here, in at least in Anglosphere. But your enemy's $100 trillion in the hole in America alone. And broader Anglosphere is bankrupt. They're basically holding America up by a thread by printing tons of money. And we're going to get back to this in the end, but we're going to have a, I guess we're going to do, I'm going to do a Bob Whitaker style, an old Bob style porch talk. And we're going to talk about where our enemy went wrong. And I'm going to tell you things that they've told me. Because the things that you think that they have going for them are not the things that they have going for them at all. It's where they really, really screwed up. But we're going to talk about the three sectors of Western civilization. This goes for Anglosphere and France. It applies somewhat to Germany, somewhat to Russia, somewhat to all the European countries, but specifically Anglosphere and France. And some other stuff. This mentality has wore off, but it's basically one simple theme that they forgot. And they forgot that labor votes. Yeah, they forgot that labor votes. You know, the elites were operating under an older paradigm. Slaves, the helots of Greece didn't vote. The Romans, the slaves in Rome didn't vote. Slaves in the ancient Middle East, they didn't vote. But they vote now. And so I'm going to talk about the three different classes and how they screwed up. And each one of them, and some of it was just pure greed, but some of them wasn't. For instance, whether you go to France or England or anywhere in the United Kingdom, even somewhere in the northern European countries on a lesser scale, especially in America, the conservatives wanted all this low-cost labor. They thought this low-cost labor was wonderful because it was good for their businesses. And that's certainly true. It's good for the bottom line for a day or a month. But they forgot that it votes, and it may very well vote them out of assets one time or another, right? And they also were stupid enough. It's like the Republicans. Republicans right now, you know, they have Michael Steele, the African, and they have Newt Gingrich. This is Republicans in America, and they're talking about a new contract with America and talking about making Republicans some perfect multiracial country, party, you know, because obviously it's good for the neocons. The neocons have to have that. They can't have a white-only party. It's too much for them. So it becomes rather funny. In other words, the conservatives still think they may get the non-white votes. It's just comedy. It's comedy to watch them. They've been doing this for way before I was born. They've been doing this 30 and 40 years before I was born. They were doing this probably before Bob was born. Well, maybe not. Maybe Bob, when the day Bob was born, conservatives lost their mind. They thought they were going to get brown votes. But the Republicans of the 50, yeah, we're going to be the party of the black, party of the blacks, so on and so forth. It's never once worked. Now, the liberals, the so-called left, whether it be the Democrats or the Labour Party in the Labour Party in the UK, the socialists in France, they always wanted the Browns. They wanted the brown immigrants because a brown immigrant was a vote for them. But they too got a little greedy. they too forgot something. Tonto doesn't want to vote for the Lone Ranger. As soon as Tonto has enough votes, Tonto's going to vote for a Tonto. That's what they forgot. That was kind of funny. And so you got Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, of course, is the first. She's doing the white man's burden up there. She's doing all this work for the Taliban, and the Taliban is running around the world. He's either golfing or bowing. It's pretty funny stuff. He's golfed more times in his first year as president than George Bush did like his whole second term. It's just comedy. And Hillary has got to do all kinds of stuff. I don't know how true this is. I don't know the exact numbers, but her staff is huge. She has this mammoth Secretary of State staff, even bigger than any of her predecessors. Apparently she has to do all this extra work. I don't have an exact numbers, but I know she has a campaign staff still and all kinds of stuff, but it's funny. But I think it's good. Affirmative action, if it affects the average white working man and white working class lady or the average, believe it or not, it affects the corporate guys too. It doesn't matter whether you're white collar or blue collar anymore. It affects everyone, even up information technology, so on and so forth. But if it affects all of them, well, then it should affect the highest office in the land. Let them take up the white man's burden. Anytime you see something reach the top like that, it's almost over with. But, you know, Tonto, they wanted to vote, but they voted for the Taliban. They didn't want to vote for Hillary. It's kind of funny. It is hilarious. And then the third was was the elites. The elites, they don't really care who... They didn't really care who the brown people voted for. They don't really care about that because they can buy them out. It's very easy to buy out Africans. It's very easy to buy out Mexicans. But they too were greedy. They too forgot labor voted. They too didn't figure all the consequences, figure all the angles. The Mr. Rockefellers and the Mr. Rothschilds, because they too, there was a flaw in their thinking. What happens if you bring in radicalized Muslims? Right? What happens if you do that? Well, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. And that's the problem they've had. They haven't had the problem. They don't really care about African crime. Well, maybe you just woke up and realized that the guys in charge really don't care about criminals running around murdering, raping, and killing white people. They don't really care about that. They don't really care about any of these things, but they do care about their New World Order and stuff like that, and the Muslims have put the kibosh on them. So they let in all these Muslims, and these Muslims are fanatically anti-Jewish, and you do not have anyone to do business with. You can't do business with their leaders. You can do business with some of the leaders like the House of Saud, but they don't count on this Arab street. You can't do business with the Hezbollah or the Hamas. They just don't. You can't work with them. The Iranians will not work with them. They don't care about dying. They have been hyped up. And I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to come back to this, and we're going to talk about something you're going to hear more and more of, and I want to give you a heads up on it. Because they're trying to blame someone for this. They're trying to blame someone for things that are their own fault. Who are they trying to blame? Oh, they're trying to blame the Nazis. And we're going to come back to this because all these events are tied in together. But one of the challenges is when you get in these conversations, when you talk about the elites, everyone thinks they're so brilliant. Well, they're so brilliant they forgot that labor votes. Their paradigm from Rome or their paradigm from ancient Babylon just wasn't going to work in a modern society. Why? Because of race. There's a huge difference between running an ancient civilization or running even Rome 2,000 years ago and running in America. It just ain't going to work. A multiracial, multicultural country isn't going to work. Right now in America, we have the Fort Hood massacre. You have all these people killed. I'm assuming most of them are white. I don't know exact number, but all these people were killed. They were white by a Muslim soldier. Well, this comes back to what I was saying before. You have a group really hyped up. Those groups are Muslims are very, very hyped up, but you're running a multiracial, multicultural army, and they don't work. You can't have one of those and go to war. It's kind of funny. They've given up their big weapon. Their biggest weapon over Anglosphere were sending out the Redcoats. You know, the Redcoats were homogenous Aryan. They were going to send them out and mow everyone over, basically. Well, they've given that up. They tried to create a multiracial, multicultural, blended humanity. and it was all, you know, and all these different sectors come together, but it was all around this concept of inviting these people in, and everyone was getting something out of it. You know, it's come to light in the UK that the Labour just wanted the votes, while the Conservatives thought they were doing something good for the business class, and the elites thought they could buy them out either way. But you can't buy out the Muslims. You can't buy out a Muslim that's hyped up enough to grab a gun, go in, raised in America, raised in America, but grabs a gun, goes in, and shoots up a bunch of people in a military base. How are you going to go to war with that? Especially if it's only in your country. Especially if you're building some type of multicultural, multiracial utopia. You can't. And the reason they're upset, in America growing up, you know, Fort Hood massacres happen every day in America. Oh, they don't happen all at once. But in America, you know, 37 to 40 people die every day from illegal immigration. Most of the people that die are white from illegal immigration, but they die every day. You don't see it on the news. You know, they're not upset that he killed a bunch of white people. They're not upset that this Lebanese Muslim walked in and killed a bunch of white people. That's not what they're upset about. They're upset because he murdered diversity. That's what they're upset about. Geraldo Rivera was on TV talking about how we have the most wonderful, the Marine Corps, everyone all bleeds green, and they're all multiracial, multicultural, and it's this perfect American utopia, and he destroyed that. This Muslim was destroying that. The general that came out, I don't know his name, maybe it was Casey or something like that, but this idiot general came out, and his idiot general says that that he was really worried about diversity. I mean, here you have all these soldiers dead, most of them white, by the way, but he's worried about diversity. Well, that's kind of it's tragic and at the same time funny. That's the end of diversity. He murdered diversity. And the elites have been worried about this a long, long time. One segment that was very, very intelligent has been angling. I talked about this angle. The only thing you can do when someone is dominating energy flow is try to angle off of it. You know, they flooded the West with Islam, unbeknownst to themselves. They didn't really realize what they got into it. But then they went to war with Islam, and they were trying to angle to create this World War III, where we throw out the Muslims and they expand Greater Israel, and you know, okay, back to all happy and everything's white, but everything's hunky dory. But it ain't going to work that way. They got in way too much over their heads on this one. And a lot of people think, you know, it's some conspiracy or something like that. Well, it's the worst run conspiracy in the history of the world. You can look up their exact quotes on what they were going to do in Anglosphere, the ideal that your race had to go. But, of course, race, they're not talking about making race go the way of the dodo in China. They're not talking about making race go to the way of the dodo in Japan or Africa. It's only white countries where race has to go. It's only white countries where nation states have to go. You know, now, yeah, they are pushing stuff in China, and I'm going to come back to China because they're now doing the deal with Anglosphere. Yeah, you got that. I told you this was working. They're trying to work this angle, too. The reason they're working all these angles is because they're in trouble. In Anglosphere, you have a group that is so demoralized, true information won't mean anything to them. And let's go back over the basics, because I'm going to do this a couple times in this one. I'm going to use these particular news events and whatnot to go back over the basics. The ideal of active measures or ideological subversion or the whole point of demoralization is to change the perception of reality to such an extent that despite an abundance of actual information and facts, the average American or the average Briton, the average French white person would not be able to defend themselves, their country, their family, their race. It is a massive brainwashing technique, and it happens very slowly, but the first is the most critical. It takes 15 to 20 years to demoralize, because that's how long it takes to educate one generation in the philosophy, in the ideological of the enemy. You know, it takes that long to get out the textbooks. So in America, this process was way overdone. In the UK, it's way overdone. But just because it's overdone and you have a massive amount of population listening to something like this, reading V-Dare, and coming out of demoralization, you still have that segment you're stuck with. You're stuck with O'Reilly's. You're stuck with them forever. So you're stuck with this general that said he was worried about diversity. You're stuck with the Geraldo Rivera's. You're stuck with them. You cannot wage war with that in your society. And their whole entire New World Order is based on them having to wage a war with Islam. But how can you wage war with Islam when you let them in the back door, you filled up your military with all these multicultural, multiracial, all this utopianism, and then you have a huge demoralized population of self-hating white baby boomers in power. This whole segment of elites is insulated by these guys. And they can't do anything with them. They can't change them. You know, it's insane. You had a bunch of Hebrews voting for Obama, which is insane. It's insane. But again, a person that is demoralized, a person that has been brainwashed, a person that is under active measures, they are incapable of processing an actual fact. If you take out an AMRIN, American Renaissance Report, Color of Crime, this comes right out of the FBI stats, you put that in front of most of your friends and families, they're not going to get it. It will not register with them. It is just now starting to register with them. Now let's go back over this. What does it take to bring someone out of demoralization? Well, it takes either 15 to 20 years under a whole new media scheme, changing, Fox News, everything changed overnight to back to healthy America, back to white America, or if you have a total change in guard, change of ownership, that type of thing. You're going to have to totally change everything, totally change the textbooks and everything for 15 to 20 years. That's what it takes, or it takes something more radical, a change of media, a radical new media like the Internet. Well, the Internet did that. The Internet busted them in half, and they didn't really even see it coming. They still don't know what's been done to them totally. It's just now starting to register as these events just take their toll. But when you've been in power a long time, you kind of set yourself up for a fall. But that's what's happened. And so you have this huge group that they can't do anything with. They were trying to angle the longest time. In America, you had this group called, it was one of the first violent revolutionary groups. The group, and I'm gonna go over this. I'm gonna keep coming back to the subject because it's important. Most people do not know, how critical it is to understand psychological warfare or how devastating this is. In 1984, in the early 80s, you had a group called the Order. And the Order was a revolutionary group I'm guessing the guy's name is Matthews. And it was led by a handful of people, and one of them was, I want to say it was Dave Matthews. But you can look up the Order, and they're listed as white nationalists, but they're pretty much revolutionary, way more revolutionary, but violent revolutionary. And obviously that's not the game going. But that's not the point. The point is, as soon as you see something like that in the early 80s, you went way too far. In other words, in somewhere like America, you've created a problem. You've tried to replace your founding gene pool with something else. If you're the head of Lakotas, you're the head of the Comanches and the Cherokees, and you flood Indian lands with non-Indians, and you give them affirmative action, special rights, and privileges, and put them in power over top of them, you're creating a problem. That problem's going to get a reaction. That reaction is going to have a solution. And as soon as you see that reaction, as soon as you see something like the Orders in the early 80s, this was in the early 80s, most of this country was still way too asleep. But this was in the early 80s, you're getting a reaction like that from your founding gene pool. You better head that off. You better compute that. You better hook up with some white nationalists and start developing that. You better let them, you better let them have an energy flow, because if they don't have some kind of legitimate avenue of participation, you're alienating your founding gene pool. The head of the Cherokees is not going to alienate all the Cherokees. It's going to happen in segments. The Order, Dave Matthews, a handful just keep on radicalizing themselves until you're in trouble. But as soon as you see something like that, you're in trouble. And again, that's the basics. That's problem, reaction, solution. It is the basics because it's happening on every level to every human being everywhere. It doesn't matter. And we're going to go back into this as well during this conversation because these are important. But again, a person that is demoralized and capable of processing true information, the elites are not demoralized. They can get caught in a consensus trance, but they know race is real. They know what they were trying to do. They know they tried to create a blended humanity in only white children's homes. And they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what type of trouble they're in. They know that, but you see, you're stuck with all these people. And so you have this huge group like William O'Reilly's, they can't defend themselves ethnically. They don't know how to. True information will not mean anything to them. true information won't mean anything to most of your relatives. One of the reasons why the mantra works, in the one particular Follow the White Rabbit, I went into different tactics and techniques and put everything together. I believe it was a baseline humiliation techniques. Yeah, White Rabbit 17. And I talked about when you do the mantra and they don't hear you. Well, when you do something like the mantra, when you're on a consistent message and you're at a table of white people and most of them don't hear you, that's because you just put them in a trance. You're working on them at a deep level. If they look like they didn't hear you, they did. Because that's what it's designed to do. Others will keep arguing with you. They're the ones that didn't really hear what you said. You know, you'll do this over and over again. You'll keep pointing out the obvious over and over again. Those that'll hear you will keep arguing with you. Those that won't are already in a trance. They're never going to be the same walking out of there on some type of subconscious level. But that's how psychological warfare works. That's why when you put out the color of crime, it doesn't work. True information won't mean anything. You've got to have someone with the skill and knowledge of the guys over at Bugs. That's WhitakerOnline.org. That can write this stuff. That can do work. That understand what it takes to once the society starts coming out to from a demoralized state, how to flip it. How to flip the energy flow into your favor. How to get them asking the right questions, because they're already going to be doing it. You've got to have someone that obviously knows a little bit about white rabbits. But the elites were totally stuck with this. Why? As soon as they saw the order, well, one of the problems was their main front group. That's what I call them, a Foxy Foxman. Well, they can't have anything to do with white nationalism. They don't understand it. They're too afraid of it because they know that as soon as they go that route, the last time they went that route, they got mowed over in Hitler. Yeah, Hitler did a number on them. And did Jews cooperate with? Well, yeah, they financed them. Sure, they did. They financed them. The people running Engelsphere financed Hitler. They put him in the pro. There was a huge problem. The problem created with Stalin. Stalin kicked out the bankers and whatnot. So that, you know, the counterbalance of the Soviet Union, they put in place old Hitler. And Hitler, of course, that was a reaction. But guess what he did? He kicked out the bankers too and created an even bigger problem, which is still not resolved. And so, you know, it's the same old, same old. But it came back to the basics. Labor votes. Labor's going to vote, and it may not vote for you. It may not vote for you who you like. And as far as elites go, you don't know what type of labor you're letting in there. But you're going to hear this over and over again. You're going to hear the big thing that I was talking to someone from the British National Party, and it just occurred to me one of the angles they were running in the United Kingdom is that the Nazis let all these Muslims in. And there is some truth to the fact that when Hitler came to power, let's go into when Hitler came to power. When Hitler came to power and he took a steel broom to the Hebrews, he got all these telegrams in from the Muslims. The Muslims loved him. They wanted to do business with him. They wanted his autobiography, Mein Kampf, translated into Arabic. Why? Well, he's doing everything they said in the Quran. So the ideal of taking anti-Semitism to the Muslim countries is pretty much like taking carrots to rabbits. It's already there. I mean, they're already eating it. So this idea that they did something magical, they didn't. And you can prove this to yourself by looking at the facts. I'm going to go into, and we'll jump over, and I'm going to come back around to this. Because this is something you're going to hear all the day, that the Nazis did this, the Nazis did that. None of you ever seen any Nazis. Not that they're not there. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you about the first time I heard about the basics, because I was asked this question. Horace, when did you first get introduced to the basics? Well, I got introduced to the basics of problem, reaction, solution in a roundabout way. Let me jump off on a slight tangent here, and I'm going to go on a couple different tangents during the course of 20, but they'll all tie back into what I was talking about, the basics. And I'm going to tell you about when I first learned about the basics of problem, reaction, solution, because every single one of you are listening to this most likely over reaction, and we're going to tie all this in together. But one day I was working in a particular office, and this gentleman walked in, and he'd been around quite a number of times. He's kind of irritating. He was like, I don't know, like your typical neocon, kind of a nasally, whiny voice. He's a fast talking Hebrew. He never really got on my nerves because I didn't stay around him too long, but he was getting on the nerves of an older gentleman. And the older gentleman, he made some comment. And this older gentleman really didn't care. Really didn't care that people knew his politics. And the Hebrew couldn't do anything about his job anyways, the little Jewish guy. And so he said, he made a comment about Hitler, about something. And the older gentleman, the Gentile, said, he said, and I overheard this whole thing, he said, you know, Hitler really wasn't concerned about destroying America. And the Jewish fellow said, why do you say that? He said, he thought that Hebrews would do it for him. And he got very, very offended. He said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? And he said, well, if you look at the paperclip scientists, all the paperclip scientists, you'll see this whole apparatus in the CIA, the OSS, you know, the OSS in America became the CIA. There was a whole section of the CIA that were nothing but Nazis. You know, that had basic Nazi background. You know, a handful of them in control positions. Now, if you go over to the science sector, he's not talking about the paperclip ones per se, but there's a whole different apparatus, too. There was a handful of them in there. And he said, well, basically the Nazis and the CIA were doing nothing but promoting Jews. You know, Miss Magazine, they threw in Jews here. And he named off a couple different publications that were pushed by the CIA you know, that it's become known that the CIA, you know, pushed Ms. Magazine with that Jewish lady who basically ended up starting the thing up. But basically he's saying that, you know, all these Nazis are sitting here and they're pushing you to the top. And of course, that's only partially true because they were already in the media. But this guy got ticked off. He just ran out. You know, it was a very different approach. He said that, you know, they weren't... I never heard anything like that before, but at this time I wasn't really aware of anything about the Hebrews or the Jewish question or anything like that. But this type of I just looked spellbound at the guy. I'm like, you mean to tell me Nazis and the CIA were promoting Jews in the media? And he said, yeah. And I said, why would they do that? And he's like, well, they were creating a bigger problem. I said, why would they create a bigger problem? He said, to get a bigger reaction. I said, why would they want a bigger reaction? Because they want a bigger solution. Why would they want that? And he said, well, they're Nazis. That's what they do. And he just kind of laughed and walked away. But that is my first introduction. Anytime you get introduced to the basics of problem, reaction, solution, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. The basics operate like that because it's so basic. It's something so simple you don't see it and then it knocks you in the face. It's like Hebrew networking. You get upset over Hebrew networking. The reason you get upset is because you can see it. Good networking you shouldn't be able to see. You shouldn't be able to see. They see it because they tend to try to square circles. But you get upset over their networking, but that's just the basics. And we're going to go into this. I'm going to tell you what I think is true and what I think is false. But obviously, by the time any National Socialist got over to America, by the time a handful got into the CIA or got into the paperclip scientists came in, Hebrews were pretty well entrenched in the media, weren't they? Yeah, Hebrews were all over the media. They had all the papers. They had all kinds of stuff. They had all kinds of power in Hollywood. But what he was saying is, and I've never been able to verify this precisely, but you do have a period of American history where a lot of Hebrews were thrown up at the top of things. Even Hugh Hefner, Playboy, he's part Jewish. Now, were they pushed up by Jews? Some of them were. His premise was that that someone were pushed up by Nazis. Well, what did create a big problem? Well, obviously, if you're doing that, you're not playing for 1965 or 1985. They're playing into something longer term. And I think we'll be seeing that pretty shortly. But that blew me away. And the first thing I did was I got angry. I got angry. You know, what are National Socialists doing here, if it's true, pushing Hebrews to the top of the media where they already have a lot of power? Well, it's problem, reaction, solution. And that got a big reaction. Sure, it created a big problem. Not that there wasn't already one to begin with. If anything, they were adding logs to the fire. But this is what you're getting when they start blaming the Nazis. They're blaming the Nazis. They're looking for someone to blame for all their problems. Because the elites, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, they're in the type of trouble they haven't been in thousands of years. They're not walking away from this one. And so it becomes rather interesting to see how this goes, but that's where you're getting that from. And in other words, what they're doing is they're telling you, without telling you, if you do any homework, you're going to see that they've had a number done to them. A lot of times in this type of situation, it's over with. A war like this that's coming is over with before it ever begins. And they've had a number done onto them. And a lot of times when you get hit by a truck or something, you don't realize what happened until you see everyone else's face, until it's all over with. I've never been able to find out exactly who at the CIA was throwing Hebrews at the top of America media any more than they already were. You know, I mean, how many Nazis would it take to do that? How many National Socialists embedded in the CIA would it take to one at one control point? You know, how many white rabbits does it take to screw in a light bulb? One. You know, how many white rabbits would it take to change the way you think? Well, Bob Whitaker changed the way I think, and maybe I'll affect some of you, and you'll go listen to Bob, and it'll affect you a lot more. I'm getting an email, so obviously it's working on some extent. This month there's been more downloads to Follow the White Rabbit than last month. And last month was over 110 gig. And so we've had already more downloads than that this month, so which is interesting. But anyways, I don't know the whole story to that, but that's when I got first introduced to the basics, because I've been asked this question. And whenever you're introduced to the basics, it doesn't matter whether it's networking, you won't think it's fair. It doesn't matter whether it's problem, reaction, solution, you won't think it's fair. You will not like the fact that a bunch of, if it's true, I don't know the whole story, but if it's true, you won't like the fact that a bunch of Nazis decided to throw some logs on the fire. You know, there's a bunch of Hebrews in the media. Well, we're going to make sure there's a whole lot more. Yeah, it's going to get a big reaction. And when you get on Stormfront, when you're listening to me, you're a byproduct of that reaction. They created a problem. That problem's going to always get a reaction. If you create a big enough problem, you get a bigger reaction. Dave Matthews, the order was a huge reaction, an epic reaction. Much bigger than they should have headed that off. You don't want it going that route. Once you have it go that route, you have to give them some legitimate legal options to channel that energy. They've never done that. They've tried to square a circle. They tried to bottle lightning. Why would they do that? They thought they had their New World Order in the early mid-80s. By 87, they didn't have it. By 1998, you're in trouble. Now Putin's in power. They have their New World Order? Do they? Where's it at? How come I'm still talking to you? They don't have a New World Order. They don't have it, and they ain't going to have it either. Yeah, so don't sign up for the losing side. But they are telling you the Nazis. None of you see Nazis. So what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about this. They've been doing digging. They've been reading Joseph P. Farrell's books. They're doing a lot of digging and figuring out what went wrong for them, who they've been set up by. But the point I'm trying to make to you, and I'm going to wait till after I tell you about the Muslims. Well, the Mein Führer came in there after Nazi Germany. You had a bunch of Nazis camp out in Muslim countries. They tuned up their propaganda. They got the Mein Kampf translated, if it wasn't translated already, and they gave them a bunch of different you have the protocols of Zion, so on and so forth, traditional type stuff. But it was like taking care of a rabbit. That stuff went wild there, and you're seeing that when at Fort Hood, you're seeing the results of this. But they amp them up. Now, how many would it take to do that? Well, it wouldn't take that many. It would only take a handful. That's why they're calling them neo-Nazis. They're calling them Muslim Nazi fascists and that type of thing. That's why they're saying that. They're just not telling you the whole story. But you see, Hitler never created the problem. He didn't put the Jews in the middle of the earth. He didn't create Israel. You see, as soon as they created Israel, they created a problem, right? As soon as they roost at the top of the media in America, they start creating a problem. You leave yourself wide open for someone to walk in and throw logs on the fire to create a bigger problem, which get a bigger reaction. The idea that you could have a website like Stormfront talking about helping white children survive is pretty shocking in the history of our race. Nothing like that's ever been done. Dave Matthews, the Order, was an actual revolutionary group that... I mean, they're as violent revolutionary as it goes. In the American Revolution, they would have done very well. They probably would have done well in any type of violent revolution, that type of group mentality. But they're actually thinking they were at war against Zog, against the people running Anglosphere, mostly America and the Hebrew elites. That's pretty shocking. Going to war against a king is one thing. Fighting for your freedom against the king is one thing. You know, under usually it's done in history of Europe under some type of petty nationalism, or I shouldn't say petty nationalism. The Irish, you know, everyone has a right to survive. Everyone has a privilege to survive with me, except the people that say no one has a privilege to survive. But you know what I mean. The typical type of European nationalism, going to war, or you know, America breaks out from the king, or Longshanks gets gutted by Braveheart. That's not the type of thing. You're talking about a group. A revolutionary group formulated to liberate his race. You better do something about that. That was in early 80s. You can't let it go beyond that. As soon as you see something like that, you better head that off, because what happens if you don't have your New World Order? You got problems across the board. But they didn't. They created this problem themselves. The Nazis didn't do anything. They're letting, if they did anything, they let their opponent make their choices, and those choices have consequences. Yeah, there is no forgiveness in the universe. There's only choices and consequences. Even if you're a Christian, if you have a God that has to bleed to death in this world for your sins, it's because forgiveness is not some willy-nilly event. You know, Jesus didn't show up and say, "Oh, I forgive you, Christians." No, he bled to death for your sins. So forgiveness is not some willy-nilly event. There are only choices and consequences. So when they chose to go back to Israel, when they chose to create Israel, there were consequences. That created a problem. That problem had a guaranteed reaction, because they always do. It's the basics. It's the basics. Human beings cannot escape the basics. Problem, reaction, solution. So there was a reaction. They weren't doing anything magical. They were just making sure that reaction got a few logs on the fire. Right? If they were doing anything in America media, a handful, it would only take one, would be throwing logs on the fire. Why? To make sure it's a big problem, so it gets a big reaction. And it looks at the storm front, it looks at the JewsGonnaGetYou.net, JewWatch.com, JewishTribalReview.org, Zog, DownWithZog.net, you know, all these. I mean, it's outrageous what type of reaction this had. Well, look at it. You're listening to me most likely because of a reaction. It's not because you're naturally ethnocentric. And in 21, we're going to go back into white rabbit consistency and a consistency in white rabbit behavior, because it's been around since ancient times. You're not naturally ethnocentric. Only a handful are. If you isolate that handful, you're going to cause a lot of big problems. And we're going to go into that in 21. But you're not. This is all a reaction. What you see in the Muslims is a reaction to a problem. The problem was Israel. The Nazis didn't create that problem. No, they did not. They did not. The Hebrew elites, believe it or not, probably could have formed their own country in Europe easily. They could have easily formed their own country. Well, they had that type of power. After World War II, America had a lot of power, which means de facto the Hebrew elites and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers had a lot of problems. They could have taken a little piece of Austria and made their own little home. Sure they could have. Don't kid yourself. They could have done anything they wanted to. They chose to go back to Israel, and it was a horrible, horrible decision. But that created a reaction. So what are the Nazis looking to do? What are they telling you when they're saying the Nazis did this, the Nazis did that, the Nazis, the Nazis, Nazis, a billion Muslim fascist Nazis, yada, yada, yada? Well, the only thing they did was they bested them. They threw logs on the fire. They threw logs on the fire to get a reaction. And then these idiots had to flood. They planned on flooding Europe. They plan on flooding Europe long before World War II. They plan on having some total egalitarianism in America long before the civil rights. They plan on creating a blending of humanity here long before. These are very long-term planning groups. In my opinion, they're statements back to the turn of the century, mostly old racialists. Look them up. They plan on having a mixed humanity in European countries long before World War II. But they've made choices, and those choices now have huge, huge consequences. They've created problems consistently, and someone has consistently, something like the National Socialists. They're not looking to dominate an energy flow in the American media in 1965 or 1985. What they'd be looking to do is dominate an energy flow somewhere around now, and they are dominating it online. It doesn't matter. Mein Fuhrer has a billion Muslims that fight by proxy. He does. You got to give credit where credit's due. They do, behind the scenes all the time. They're saying they did a number on us. Well, they have. They stoned them. They didn't do anything, though. They aren't making any decisions. Their opponent is making a decision. The people at the top of Anglosphere have made decisions, have made choices. Those choices are horrible. They made very poor choices. The first poor choice, they will tell you, was going to World War II. Yeah, most of you think World War II was a big victory. Well, that book hasn't been written yet, has it? It's only been written in the white nationalist minds. They don't think it was. They think it was the worst decision they've ever made. The second poor decision, the second worst decision they made in 4,000 years, apparently, was Israel. The first was World War II. World War II has cost them a lot. It's cost them a whole lot. And we won't see anything until the end. That's the way this stuff works. But the ideal that there's Nazis out there doing anything magical, they're not. They never did anything magical. They never did anything magical post-World War II. All they're doing is using energy flow. When you get into all these books coming out, talking about apparently the head of the NASA medical science, head of NASA medical science, that's the space and aeronautical, American Space and Aeronautical, NASA. Apparently he makes Mengele look like a choir boy. Never heard a word about him. I don't even know his name. Mengele, each one of you know of. Apparently, he's a pretty evil guy, but, they're doing business with him. He's okay. So they don't really care about that. But right now, they're trying to put the pieces together. Because the Red Hippopotamus, over the past 10 to 15 years, they're taking them down. They're taking them down one pink rabbit at a time. Yeah, most of you want this all-or-nothing deal, but it's ironic. Every time I get on anti-war, I see some new AIPAC investigation. I see Angie Harmon, one of the congresswomen investigated. I see these different spies arrested. I see the huge neocon, one of the largest Zionist media operators in the world, was Conrad Black. He's in jail. I see the Bernie Madoffs. I don't know what Bernie Madoff was about, but I do know this. He's in jail. I see that type of thing. You don't see it, and you think they're going to get rounded up or something. Well, they're just isolating the guys at the top and taking them down. I see Lehman Brothers. Someone at the Treasury Department allowed them to collapse. I see Soros stuttering it time and time again. And there are dozens of these events across Western civilization. Even when it comes to that filmmaker was caught for pedophilia. Look at that. Well, obviously something's going on. They're not taking the same approach, but they're definitely something's going on out there. But what would they be playing into? Well, they're playing into right now. They're playing into right now. So this should be rather interesting. But you have the enemy has been put in the box. And I will describe the scenario like this. When I look at it, I look at it like a big hunt. Maybe you've watched white people always love these, the indigenous white rabbits of Europe love watching the Discovery Channel and the National Geographic Channel. Well, so do I. They love watching the other animals. And when you watch this, every once in a while you have one of these big hunt shows. And when the big hunters come out with a couple big shooters. And then they gather around all the natives, they gather around everyone, and they start making noise. They spread out and they start making noise. What they're doing is driving an enemy. They're driving an enemy with sound. They're banging pipes together. The Maasai warriors are clanging on things. They're trying to bring out the enemy so the shooters can get a clear shot. But the enemy, in this case, we are driving the red hippopotamus. There's whole different lines driving this animal. They're driving it. They're driving the pink rabbits. They've never once come out near Bob. They've never come out near our lines. They won't attack. The lions aren't going to attack the hunters. They're going to run away from them. They're going to run away from the noise. But as they run away from the noise, as they start closing in on them, they start making mistakes. The more mistakes they make, the more it costs them. And then eventually, of course, the big animal makes his or her fatal move. And they come out in the opening, and a big shooter gets a shot and takes them down. That's how those African hunts work. That's a safari hunt. They just drive them. They drive them with sound. And that's what's been going on in a variety of different ways, with not just sound, legally, geopolitically, the red hippopotamus is getting driven. He's getting driven from one angle to the other, whether it be with Muslim immigration, multiculturalism, multiracialism. A lot of people in Anglosphere are very upset that the royal family and some of these royal elements totally screwed them over, tried to replace them with a bunch of people from the third world. Well, you know what? When you loan someone money and they don't pay you back, it's a gift. It's a gift from the white rabbit God, because you never have to deal with them again. What the people running Anglosphere are telling me is that Horace, you're liberated. you don't owe us anything, and we don't want you. That's freedom. They're giving you your freedom. They're telling you, I don't know what, they're telling us they're not related to us, I guess. They're nailing on to themselves. Well, she's just giving you freedom. People running the UK have given you a ticket to do whatever you want to do. Really. They said that you're not good enough for them. Well, that's fine. I wish they would have told us that, you know, maybe you wish they would have told you that hundreds and hundreds of years ago before you went around the world conquering the world for them. And that's what they regret right now. They regret not having those redcoats. They regret not having that big Aryan army up in front of the crown there, running around the world conquering the world for them. And that will conquer the world. You start talking about neocon supremacism or Jewish supremacism hidden behind the safe confines, a massive Aryan ethnocentric, a massive Aryan army going to war for the king. Well, that's a ticket. That ticket can't be beat. That ticket conquered the world, but they gave that up, didn't they? Yeah, they told you they revealed their true intentions. They revealed their true colors. They showed their colors, as they say. So it's kind of interesting. It's interesting. Many people regret that. You're upset over that. No. It's like loaning a buddy of yours $100 and he doesn't pay you back at lunch or something. Well, what a bum. You know, if the guy's broke and he doesn't have the money, it's one thing. But just to stiff you over it or something like that, no. It's wonderful. The glass is always half empty. Or the glass is always half full, remember? The glass is never half empty. It's always half full. So if someone's saying they don't want you, that's good. You don't need them. There'll be plenty of other options for you, trust me. But they gave you up. They gave that up. And in giving that up, they gave up everything. And so this is kind of funny. So now the red hippopotamus, and that's all we are. That's all we're doing here, is on a consistent message, you're simply taking off an angle. You're taking off an angle, you're on a consistent message, you're banging the drum at the red hippopotamus. He's got to move. He's not going to attack Bob. I would love it if they passed hate crime laws. I would love it if they put Bob on trial for the mantra in London. It ain't going to happen. No, it ain't. I would love it if they outlawed Horace the Avenger talking about pink rabbits. Oh, I would love that. But no, the only thing they do is run from us. They know. They already know they're in trouble. The last thing you do is come out and you're a big shooter because you're going to get your head blown off. But that's what they do. That's what they've been doing. They've been taking off angles. They've been taking off financial angles. When you hear this raging against Anglo banking, they're taking down financial angles. When you see Putin seal off oil supplies, that Nord Stream and that South Stream, someone emailed me saying that wasn't going to happen. Well, that is happening. They're just playing games. They're playing games in Europe. They're lining up this red hippo. But what they're doing is taking down angles. Again, you're driving an enemy. And as they've driven the red hippopotamus, he now has to make two choices. Yeah, they have to make two. They have a choice, but the choice is an ugly choice. They go to war with Iran all out, which they do not know the consequences. They don't know what's out there. Well, they have an ideal. They have an ideal for reasons I'm not going to go into, but they have an ideal, but they don't want to go to war. And this group has always wanted to go to war. They don't want to go to war because of some underlying factors. But there's another solution. They can let America collapse, which it will do. America's collapsing right now. They have North America lock, stock, and barrel, but what do you have? You have a place $100 trillion in the hole. It's collapsing. You let America collapse, and you go into a French-style revolution and or tribunals. They will have no power ever again. It could go one way or the other. So what are their choices? What is the red hippopotamus' choices? Well, he's going to have to make a shot at Iran. He's going to have to shoot for the clean break. And what are we doing? We're going for the clean break as well. But what they're doing, when you talk about blaming them for blaming the Nazis for Islam, or blaming, even they're going as far as saying the Nazis did a lot in the United States. Well, there's certain paperclip scientists that were National Socialists. You know, von Braun was. But, of course, they're the ones that are heroes. You don't hear anything about them. But blaming them, I'm sorry, they didn't create any new energy flows. All they're doing is looking to dominate one at a certain point in time. Blaming someone else for your problems won't work for me. It doesn't work when white rabbits do. When white rabbits start moaning and crying about their problems, no matter what you've been through, I've seen it all too. That doesn't get me. That doesn't do anything for me. That's just my particular take on things. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say the Nazis flooded Europe with Muslims. Well, that doesn't really wash. There may be a couple places they hit the trigger. There may be a couple places they hit the trigger. They certainly hit the trigger on the reaction. They guaranteed the reaction. Oh, they did. They did. They walked into the Middle East. How many Nazis did that? One white rabbit. One white rabbit. That's all it takes. All it takes is one Bob Whitaker, and you're in trouble. You're in trouble once someone understands the basics, right? Any one of you can do this type of stuff. It's very simple. How many National Socialists at a CIA control point would it take to foister, to overdo it and throw up a whole herd of Hebrews, who, of course, are still going to throw up more Hebrews, right? Because they always network. To give them a big leg up, to make them very visible in the media, it would only take one. But I don't like other people blaming other people for their problems. They're not doing anything magical. So this doesn't really wash with me. But they certainly weren't there, and I will say that this one particular character in the NASA space medicine, he's got a pretty nasty background. Like I said, he makes Mingo look like a choir boy, according to some. But of course, you won't read about him in the history books, at least not yet. But the whole story hasn't been written yet. But the basics are just that, the basics. You have to understand demoralization. You have to understand that your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, true information will not mean anything to them. It's just now starting to mean anything to them. But you break them with a mantra. You break them with a consistent message. That's how you do it. Then once they get going, once they start asking questions, then you insert new information. Then you insert the color of crime. The frustrating thing for the old-timers has been this has taken years. Some of these guys remember the order in the 80s. But you see, that's the enemy's problem. The enemy has basically told us they don't want us, but they need us. They need us more than oxygen. So how do you come back in? Well, the ones that wanted to take off white nationalism, that wanted to start supporting white nationalism in the early, late 90s before they went to war with Islam, very intelligent. They couldn't do that. You see, Nazism did a number on them psychologically. They lost a lot more in that war than most of us ever realized, and this book hasn't been written yet. You know, we know about the white, we know about the European deaths. We don't really know about anything behind the scenes or what happened afterwards. The story is still being written. And every day on the Hitler Channel, or as one of my listeners calls it, the Hitler Channel. The History Channel is now the Hitler Channel. Every day they're coming out with depending on when the special on Nazism or when the special on World War II was written is what you're going to be hearing. There's some new channels that they're going to be opening up. They're going to be coming back to memes. They're going to be planting new memes. They're going to be coming back to it. We don't have the full story on how it ended and what exactly happened afterwards. We do have the full story when it comes to how many of us died, right? We do have the full story when it comes to what they planned on doing, creating a multiracial, multicultural utopia and only white children's homes. We have the whole story on that, but we don't have the whole story on how they ended up in South America, what they did, you know, all the different machinations afterwards. But this ideal that they're doing something magical, this ideal that they set them up, no, it's just the basics. And whenever you get hit with the basics, it's going to make you angry. It's going to frustrate you that someone took you to school. The Hebrews, right now, the Anglo elites, the Rothschild, the two R's, R and R as I call them, Rockefeller and Rothschilds, they've been taken to school. They've been taken to school. They know it. Most of the lieutenants are now finding out about it. They have been hurt, and this is the type of injury that by the time it's over, you don't even know what's been done to you. And so let's see what the Red Hippopotamus does. Let's see if he lets America collapse. Believe it or not, some of those, I'm sure I've got some of those steely-eyed lone wolfers hate listening to all that negative stuff out there, and they want to listen to something a little more entertaining. Well, at least I get that much credit. I guess some people think this is entertaining, or at least unique, certainly unique. But if it comes into a friend, if they allow it to collapse, which I can't imagine they're going to do, but they have miscalculated. They miscalculated certain events of the American Revolution. This is a huge miscalculation. Huge miscalculation, because they're either going to a war with Iran or they're going into a French-style revolution, quasi-tribunals, or some combination. The Russians will not have any mercy. No one on this planet will have any mercy with them. They're running that Chinese angle, but who knows what the Chinese are really about. The Chinese have more than... They're not all together in China. No, the Chinese are not all on the same page. You have an elite there that are a bunch of pink rabbits. Yeah, they're going to be pushing multiracialism in China. big time. They're too late. They're too late on any of this stuff. So we'll see what. But he's going to make a choice. The Red Hippopotamus is going to make a choice. He's going to have to come out and fight. The Pink Rabbits are going to have to come out and fight. They're not going to have anyone fighting for them. They're going to have to do it themselves. They'll either do it in some type of in America, which they still have barely. They're flooding the world with money, trying to hold up the stock market here. Most Americans think the economy is doing well. It is not. It is destroyed. It is totally destroyed. You just don't realize it. This is the type of thing you won't realize until it's over. But my guess has always been they'll go with the last option in Iran, and it's going to be beyond comprehension to them. It's going to be the worst choice. Yeah, their best choice is to hang out, go to tribunals, maybe some of their kids will get spared or something, but then again, maybe not. But this is going to be pretty interesting. But this idea that someone has pulled a magic wand over them, or someone, these evil and sinister Nazis, sorry, it's just the basics. It's just the basics. This idea that evil, sinister Jews take over things, well, it's the basics of networking. The reason you know about it, because it isn't workable long term. Yeah, if they would have went to Israel, cleared out Israel, minded their own business, most of the white world wouldn't have had a problem. But what their elites have tried to do, and it has nothing to do with the rabbi necessarily with your local synagogue, and maybe your local Protestant minister, but what they've tried to do is impossible. And now they're regretting it. They're regretting the whole night. They can't even wage war. They can't wage war with an enemy because they got the enemy within their own doors, and the enemy is way too radicalized. How did they get radicalized? The basics. How did you get radicalized? The basics. A basic reaction to a basic problem, which requires a basic solution. What is interesting, what they're noticing, is that the problem, reaction, solution, whether it be coming to the Anglo elites from one angle, or the problem, reaction, solution coming from the Muslim angle, we haven't got to those solutions yet, have we? Yeah, all those solutions are lining up. What they are, I don't know. It ain't going to be pretty, though. But that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That's what they're talking about. That's how they see things. They don't see things that they have too much control. They have control in North America, and they got problems. They have the type of problems you just wouldn't want, with the type of people you wouldn't want problems with. And all of them are white. So it's going to be kind of entertaining. What you have, in my opinion, and these are all just my opinions, of course, what you have is you have most of the European elites are segregated, and a whole segment is saying this whole section of Anglosphere has to go. But what's interesting is you have this out group in Anglosphere also saying the current group in Anglosphere has to go. And what's interesting about this is that this group in Anglosphere that knows they got to go has said, if we go, well, we're going to take all these other guys with us. But what they don't understand, or what they're just now learning, is that to the Europeans and to a whole section of Anglosphere like me, that's perfectly okay. You can all go, because we don't need you. You've told us we don't need you. You've told us that you don't need us, and we agree. We don't need you either. So if you're average UK kid and you're really upset that these guys have sold you out, well, they've gave you a ticket. You know, the glass is always half full. They've told you not only that they need you a lot more than you need them. You'll have plenty of options, but they've given you a ticket out of town. You know, if you loan some bum money and he doesn't pay you back and doesn't talk to you after that because he doesn't plan on paying you back, well, good riddance. Good riddance. That's wonderful. And what can I end this with? What can I end this talk about? This talk was just on the basics and stuff that I wanted to go deeper into, because when it comes to demoralization, most people don't understand how critical it is. Once you have a society that is demoralized, once you have a bunch of O'Reillys and Phil Donahues and Jimmy Carters, true information won't mean anything to them. You've got to isolate them. You can isolate them with a consistent message. You can do what the communists and Nazis did with a bullet to the head. You can do that, sure, under the right conditions. You know, if you're in some violent revolution, but we can isolate it with a consistent message very easily, because you have a whole section that's coming out. Also, you have a multiracial, multicultural country, and someone has to speak for the whites, and the whites can't continue to speak for all these other groups, because all these other groups want their own spokesman, don't they? And so they don't want Jimmy Carter running them. They want an Obama. They want someone like them running things. Well, that's wonderful. That's a tribal world, and a tribal world is a beautiful world. But understanding demoralization, understanding how critical this is, understanding why when you put the color of crime in front of your neighbors it won't work, or it's just now starting to work, understanding how a consistent message works is so critical. It's just the basics. Understanding problem, reaction, solution is critical. It doesn't matter if you like it or if you think it's evil or you think it's naughty or it seems kind of nefarious. Well, you're in it. You're a reaction. You're in it whether you like it or not, so you might as well at least understand it. And that's going to be the end of of 20. And one last thing for me to go into. I've been asked about the hate speech laws and what would happen if the hate speech laws come in. Well, the hate speech laws would be the last hurrah of the red hippopotamus. The most ruthless hate speech codes that ever came in were put in place in Bolshevik Russia, and they were just murdering people for being white, basically, for being white Gentiles. Basically, that's what they were doing. They declared anyone racist and anti-Semitic. They were basically declaring anyone racist. What they meant was anti-Semitism came under racism laws, and they were shooting them in the head. If that happened in America, you'd be in a full-blown revolution. That won't happen. But as far as the speech codes, the most ruthless actual speech codes in Western civilization were put in place in the Weimar Republic. The Weimar Republic, if you so much as said ha-chu, they'd arrest you for saying Jew and they'd put you in jail. And they would do it too. So what they did, what the anarchists, most people only give the National Socialists credit for this, but the anarchists were big on this too, believe it or not. At the time, the anarchists weren't all that. They were liberal as so much as they were radical out the wall. One of the reasons the Hitler came to power is the anarchists thought that his policies were very, very radical. And the anarchists like Proudhon, you can go into the anarchist side. But anyways, what they did, what they started doing, the National Socialists, the anarchists, and every group that were pushing the Hitler angle, that thought National Socialists would have been interested. Interesting, a world without Jews type of thing, is they weren't allowed to say Jews because of hate. They weren't allowed to say the word Jew because of the hate crime laws. They weren't allowed to say Hebrews. They weren't allowed to make any references like that. So what they started doing, they started spelling out their whole names. They would say Wolfgang, Goldberg, Schmeissenberger. And if they set out if they stated their whole name a certain way, everyone knew it was a Jew. And that was the Weimar Republic, and that brought to power Adolf Hitler. So these type of hate speech codes do not work on white rabbits because it's the last thing you want to do. I told you this before. Negative conditioning is not something you ever want to do in white run or white rabbit. Even right now, in Russia, Vladimir Putin will not let them talk about how Stalin, they want to put stuff in the textbooks about Stalin being evil. They don't want that type of negative conditioning because all the little white Russian rabbits say, oh, we're guilty of Stalin. Oh, no, we're sinners. And they'll go with it. You'll have a negative conditioning cycle. We don't need that. We don't need that in Russia right now, so we will fight that. But you don't want any negative conditioning around white rabbits. Hate speech laws are massive negative conditioning. Someone's getting out a root vegetable and hitting you over the head with it. Why do we go this route? Well, why do your neighbors think they're racist? Why did your ancestors think they were evil sinners going to burn in hell? We're white rabbits. That's what we are. You got to understand it and how to use it to your advantage. But hate speech laws, something on bugs, they might have to take down a couple articles on politicalonline.org. I may have to take off a couple of MP3s depending on if they crack down or how they crack down. But that just becomes fun. The lingo I use is already geared. I mean, if you know how to hate, you don't have any problems. I don't hate anyone for being Jewish. If I hate anyone, it's because they look like me and they have no loyalty to me and they're in power. I keep it simple. They want to outlaw pink rabbits, I invite them to do it. They want to outlaw the mantra, go ahead. There's nothing in the mantra that can be outlawed. We're already very well prepared for any hate speech codes. I said early on in these podcasts that I was hoping in 1998 they'd crack down because we negatively condition. It doesn't go well. Like I said, the most ruthless speech codes in the history of Western civilization were in the Weimar Republic, and we know how that turned out. So don't worry about hate speech codes. We can get around them and everything else. They can't do anything. They're going to have to choose. They're going to have to make a choice, and that choice will have consequences. And, oh, they can scream Nazi this and Nazi that. One of the reasons they've held back, in my opinion, on screaming too much about the Nazis is probably because they did too much business with them. But that's just my two cents. But this is the end of number 20, and hopefully you found 20 to be entertaining, and I went back over the basics from a variety of different angles. But when you see something like Fort Hood, all these Muslims, the Muslim walking around killing all the soldiers there, most of them were most likely white. I'm going to bet money on that. I haven't seen the numbers, but I'm guessing they were. When you see something like that, if they were really worried about dead white people, they'd run those specials every single day, because every single day you have probably a couple dozen killed. You know, where I grew up in America, you have white people killed every day by non-Europeans for simply being white. It's just a fact. But the reason they don't, the reason they're so upset about this is what you see is what you get. He didn't, he murdered white people, but he murdered diversity, because diverse militaries don't work. You can't have a diverse military run by a bunch of social engineer generals going to war against Islam, who's been radicalized, who the whole entire reaction was built with a big kindling that the Nazis did. Yeah, the Nazis, you know, like I just said, they put some wood on the fire there, and it looked like it worked pretty, or it's working pretty well. But that's the end of 20, and 21 I'm going to be back, and we're going to go deeper into a consistency, something they never want you noticing, a consistency in white rabbit racial behavior, because it helps you notice a consistency in all other racial behaviors too. And we're going to go deeper into that. But hopefully you found this entertaining. It was a little it's a little round robin. I have to come back to these topics and go off on angles and tangents and whatnot and come back, but hopefully you find it somewhat interesting. I've also been asked one last thing. I've also been asked what Bob thinks about the show. Well, he's written something about it. He ended it, "Well done, comrades." Let's see, I'll read it here. "Bugs Team Action. Bugs and the White Rabbit is a study in tactics." And this is Bob talking here on his blog. "I cannot be identified with an only truth, and the White Rabbit includes a mystical movement which I cannot identify. On the other hand, is one of ours, and he has concentrated on the mantra." Well, you know, the fact that I went off on this angle, and as I start doing more interviews, I'm gonna try to get some interesting interviews, and we'll go down that angle again. As long as I can get the interviews, that is. But typically when you go off on that angle, and this is me interjecting here, this isn't Bob, typically you do it with interviews. The problem with getting interviews with some of these guys is that I have to have some MP3s up first, and they've got to want me to do an interview. They got to know who I am, or at least know the material I'm going to be doing to do an interview, because a lot of them want to come out. Yeah, there's sold parties that want to come out. You got to have a platform there for them to come out on. Come out what? Come out as white rabbits, I guess. Come out racially, so to speak. So going down that angle is very difficult, because typically on the shows that go down those type of angles, when you go into Joseph P. Farrell's, well, typically you get interviews. So I kind of did it on my own, but it wasn't my ideal. It was an acquaintance who had serious research on where you guys, the listeners listening right now, are going for their information. They're going to Stormfront. They're going to all these other channels, but they're also going to InfoWars. So I thought I'd take them down a more legitimate racial path where they can look some things up and at least get some source material. But I don't blame Bob for questioning that, because I did it first too, until you start getting a bunch of downloads. And this is Bob again. "This would normally have been a serious problem before, but I have a secret weapon called Brian. So Brian went ahead and promoted the White Rabbit here as seriously as Horace could ask." And Brian's the one that asked me to, Bob's assistant actually asked me, or talked me into doing this. And he was instrumental in getting the first ones up, actually. He's a very good guy. Do I know him personally? No. I assume that's his real name, but I don't know him personally. I am sure Horace felt slighted by my not dealing with him directly. Well, not at all, Bob. Someone's got to give you plausible deniability. But personal feelings is not what we're about. In fact, one of the essential elements of teamwork is that we slight each other or give each other too much credit. My tiny populist forum consisted of me, my wife, and Bob Hoy, who had been a newspaper photographer. Bob Hoy had once had a commitment he could not fulfill, so I called the person he was in deep with, and Bob could not make the commitment because he is just our publicity man. I'm responsible for decisions and commitments. I would have to clear things up with Bob or my wife. Not only did this get us off a lot of hooks, but also gave an impression of a large, rigidly organized operation with resources, of which we had none. The Communist Daily World denounced us as one of the big money groups, like the Heritage Foundation on the right. We didn't have a bank account. We didn't have any written hierarchy or rules. We just did things. I was talking to some of our folks on Skype, and more than once someone said people ought to be told about. My reply was, so tell them. Someone high in the BNP told me I was the most quoted person in the BNP. I said, you mean the most quoted American, the BNP? He said, no, the most quoted person. I'm sure that is not true, but the point is that one major man in the party thinks it is, so it must be. I must be doing something right. Horace and Bryan simply went ahead, got over any natural worries, and did the job. Well done, comrades. So that's what Bob thinks about it. I've been asked what he thinks about it. Yeah, he didn't put me up to it. Bryan did, and the direction I took was totally from someone else gets credit for that. And I may actually do an interview with him sometime because he's a pretty fascinating character. But you got to do with the best with the information you have, and when you know better, do better. But if you think something needs to be done out there, by all means, do it. If it gets results, I assure you, I won't. No matter what angle you take, I won't. I won't second guess you, but they did a very good job. One of the only reasons I did it is because they were going to put a link up to it. Because if you're not going to put a link up to it from somewhere like Bugs, obviously it's going to be harder for any of you to listen to. So that's what they did, and it has worked out very well. Like I said, this month, the month of November, and you're talking about through November 15th, it's already done, like 115 or 120 gigs of downloads. So someone out there is listening, and I keep getting nice emails. So you asked me what Bob thinks about it. Well, Bob thinks it's getting some kind of results, and he said, well done, comrade. So that's what Bob thinks about it. And if you ever want to read Bob's blog, by all means, go to whitakeronline.org. That's whitakeronline.org. I have a link on there under About. You can read his blog, and it's down on the blog what he says. And a lot of people got on there and said nice things as well. But I get nice comments. Believe it or not, I've only got two negative comments the whole time this has been done. One wrote about 10 emails, and that was one I actually responded to. And another one wrote a couple emails of negative. But I really don't get any. After all, it is free. But this is the end of 20, and hopefully you found it entertaining. 21, I'm going to go deeper into White Rabbit consistency, consistent behavior, patterns of white rabbits, and some other different topics along that theme. We're going to go deeper back into some topics I've already discussed, but from a different angle, like this. This is all the same topics from different angles. I'm going to keep drilling you on the basics over and over again, and stuff you're going to see right in front of your face all the time. And we'll be back with you again on 21, and I will be setting up more interviews. That's something I'm working on. I had to have some MP3s so everyone knew the direction I'd be going, so they'd have something to listen to know what I'd be talking about, to know whether or not they wanted me interviewing them. But these are some interesting characters I'm trying to get interviews with, and I think some of you will find it entertaining. We'll see how it goes. Nothing's guaranteed, but that's the direction. This is the end of number 20, and I wanted to throw this in there. My proofer has the person that proof listens to this has listened to it, and apparently the order was run by not Dave Matthews but Robert Matthews. So I apologize for that. And he passed away, or he got killed in a gunfight battle. He started robbing banks with the order or something along those lines. You can wiki it, the order, and Robert Matthews, He ended up dying in 1984, and you can read all about him. But I apologize for the mistake. I said Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews is apparently a famous musician. And in 21, I'll be back with you, and we're going to continue this conversation, but yet go deeper and go into white rabbit behavior and consistencies in our behavior that they never want you to see. Continuity in behavior, we will call it. But I'll be back with you on 21. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.